Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah, brother,
like,
solid. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can come to hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we should exercise our rights. We should stand up for our rights. We should fight for our rights, and we must do it every single day. I don't care if we're talking about voting, abortion, freedom of speech. Hey, good morning, Minister Moni Scott. How are you this morning? Thank you for tuning in. Boy, do we have a show for you today. And I want to let everybody listening know that today there's a documentary being done on the show as we speak. One of our exclusive special guests, Britta Steinbrenner, is going to be on our show. And they are actually doing a documentary on the show right now on Chief, I'm going to call her the Chief in advance, Chief Steinbrenner, and also the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. So we're all going to be Just want you to know they're on location. And for those who want to see me live, go to on Facebook. You can go to Facebook Live, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. And please share it. Share it. Share it with a lot of people. Hey, man, we're about to talk about voting in just a minute. We have two very important topics for you. What's up, Cousin Randy Lamb? I just got in from Texas this morning. I just got off the plane at 6:30 this morning, and now we're doing the show on location. We are on location doing the show today. We are in the city of Long Beach, right by the beach, and I mean real close to the beach. So if you haven't you hear any noise in the background, that we're on location today. We're outside, close to the beach. What's up, Brother Clarence M. Allen? My brother, Randy Lamb. Tell all the families, share this show with the family, Randy, and tell Cousin V, hey, Felita Wiltz, hey, God bless you. Felita Wiltz, God bless everybody. I see all the phones are lit up. We're going to have we're going to have Denise Woods on, who is running for office in the Crenshaw community, and we're also going to have Britta Seiden, Brenner, on. She's going to come on, and she's going to talk. We had her on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the new chief position at the Sheriff's Department and all the things. Hey, good morning, Wanda. Good morning. Rhino, got me, Randy. Okay, everybody that's on Facebook Live, share the show with somebody right now. Share it with at least five people. That's right. And then for the people that are doing the documentary, if you want to go to Facebook Live, Eddie Justice Jones Jr., then that way you can, you guys are camera professionals. You can put me in with Britta, and then we can just go from there. You can edit it later. And good morning, Felita. God bless you. And Pastor Charles, tell Pastor Charles I said hello. What a show we have for you today. But before we get into our show and we talk about our topics that we do every single week, I start off with some news. And the news is that these mass shootings are completely unequivocally out of control. Over the weekend, there was a mass shooting in Philadelphia where guys just took their guns, several guys took guns and just shot into a crowd of people, killing people and wounding at least 11 or 12 or 13 people. There was a shooting in Nigeria at the church. They were all in there praying to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we know this time will come. This time will come. This is talked about in the Bible. They shot 20-something people and killed them in Nigeria while they were having church yesterday. Wow. Yes, it is genocide. The devil is busy, but the devil only has as much power as we give the devil. So we're going to work hard on making sure that and there was a shooting in Chattanooga, Tennessee. There was also another shooting, I believe it was Mississippi. You could just pull up mass shootings. And what they're doing is they're mimicking what other people have been doing. So I'm not going to be surprised when they call out the National Guards and they call martial law over the United States in all these states and have the National Guards at the schools for elementary kids. Hey, good morning, Gloria Majors. Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're here with us, Gloria. God bless you and the family. And please give my regards to everyone in your family, Mrs. Gloria Majors. It is out of control with these mass shootings. And remember, if you want to get a ghost gun, all you need is a 3D printer, and someone can email you the information, and you can make a ghost gun on your 3D printer. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Also, Marion Barber? Wow, what happened to him, Loni? Just text it in and put what happened to Marion Barber. I know he's wow, what happened to him? I didn't hear about that one. But I have been hearing about all these shootings. These mass shootings are completely out of control, and we need to do something about them. Our President of the United States, I love you, President Biden. Thank you for my Lifetime Achievement Humanitarian Award that I have received from the President of the United States of America, and we're going to have a ceremony on that. I'll let you guys know when that's going to happen. But that's so sad about Marion Barber. But anyway, what we're talking about, first of all, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Good morning, Metro Dickey. Thank you for tuning in with us. Please share this with a lot of people. Oh, you sound dead in the shower. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Marion Barber. Oh, my gosh. That's the football player, right? The football player. But anyway, wow. The phones are lit up. The board is lit up. There's a lot of people already calling in already. And I cannot wait to get our guest on this morning. But before we get our guest on, let's get in the studio. Let's get my sister, Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. Welcome to the show. How are you, sis?
Good morning,
Vera. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
How about you?
Wow, I'm doing fine. You know, I just got off the airplane at 6:30 this morning, and instead of getting all the way to the studio, I just came on location here in Long Beach at a very wonderful location where they have allowed me to use their space. Hey, Tina Noble, how are you? Dorsey's in the house. What's up, Tina Noble? God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very sensitive topic today. We got hallelujah. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about voting, and if you haven't voted yet, we're going to talk about why it's so important to vote. Thank you, Tina, for the hearts. I appreciate that, and love you too, and God bless you. And this is so important, blessings and on top of blessings. It's so important for us to get out and vote. I want you to know that people died for us to have the right to vote, and this is why it's so important for you to vote, because mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends, and relations fought for the right to vote. They stood in line for hours, and now they're creating all these laws around voting so that if you step out of line, you can't get back in line. If you want some water, you can't go get water in certain states like Georgia. You can't do that. You got to stay in line. And the line might be 2 hours long. If you have to use the bathroom, once you step out of the line, you're out. So we have to watch. We got to tell everybody to get your vote in. You can mail in your vote. You can go down and get in line, but you have to vote. It's so important. No one should miss this opportunity to let your voice be heard. Your voice must be heard. Hey, what's up, Janet? How are you? God bless you. Welcome to the show, Janet. I am honored that we are having so many people chime into the show. Sheila Timberlake. Hey, Sheila, how are you? More Dorsey people in the house. Blessings and good morning to you as well. As we're talking about voting, we're also going to have medical examiners puzzled on what happened. Family is trying not to give his brain. Because, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man, Marion Barber was a great football player, and he was one of the greatest defensive ends, but I can't believe that he was found dead in the shower. I mean, it's just shocking. And everything that's going on in the world right now is just shocking. What's happening in the United States is shocking. How do you not have baby formula on the shelf to feed the babies? How do you, in America, in your wildest dreams, only in America, can you believe there's not enough baby formula on the shelf to feed the babies? So last week we talked about this, and a lot of mothers said they're going to go back to breastfeeding because that is how you nurture your child. But if you're going to breastfeed, you can't be drinking, you got to eat healthy, you got to take care of yourself, and you can't be smoking. Absolutely. It's just so unreal. And as you look at the mass shootings, the mimicking of the mass shootings, I just want to see police officers at every school in the United States, at the front gate with a metal detector that nobody can go in without going through the metal detector. And there's two armed police officers at all times that are not afraid. And I say not afraid because of the shooting that happened. Yes, got to keep it real. The shooting that took place at the school where the 19 kids were killed and the police officers were told to stand down, that is unacceptable. Those kids, yes, their civil rights were violated, their human rights were violated, and that little kid that's going to testify, my heart goes out to that little kid. If I wasn't in Texas, I would have jumped on a plane and flew out there, but I want to send a shout-out to my cousin Brandy. I just got in from Texas this morning. We buried her Saturday. I mean, we had her homegoing ceremony Saturday, and it was a wonderful, amazing homegoing ceremony. I shout out Cousin V, that does our sports report, my first cousin. my cousin Sharon, and all the Jones family, Martin, everybody. My brother Dennis was there. Thank you so much, Tina, for the condolences. And I'm getting emotional. Lord have mercy. I'm getting emotional talking about it, but I did speak, and I did, you know, and everybody said, oh, you did a good job, but Lord have mercy. Thank you so much, Janet. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Just got off the plane this morning. I haven't been to bed since, I haven't slept in 24 hours, but I could not miss this great opportunity to do this show, to talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, and your rights and my rights and our rights, because we all have rights. Right now, we're gonna get more in the studio. Let's go to our dear brother, co-producer Clarence Mallon. Good morning, Brother Clarence Mallon. How are you this morning, Brother Clarence?
Fast Yeti, I know some places and I seen some faces. I got good connections, baby. My directions for people say, that's okay, they don't bother me, cause I'm ready to make it. Don't get by no weather, don't get by no trouble, got myself together. I tell you that it's all going down on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. Tell your friends to call in. It's going to be a hot one this morning. Good morning, Vera. Good morning to all our wonderful Facebook listeners, those who are on Blog Talk Radio. Especially good morning to our special guest. We're voting her in. Brenda Stein. Brenda, welcome to the show. Thank you for having me once again, Pastor Eddie. Man, this show is written. Let's roll.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Hey. Yes, okay, let's see here. Okay, let's get Solana Jones. Wait, our co-producer, Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and good morning to fellow co-producers and co-hosts. And good morning, everyone. Let's strap in, and we're going to have another great show, as we normally do, that shows our commitment to the Lord and his vision, but also how we as a nation and the directions we should be going into as we move forward in this journey with the Lord himself. So with that, get your favorite drink, sit back, relax, because the roller coaster is going to begin moving forward, and we're going to hit some bumps, but we're also going to get there together in love. So with that, good morning, good morning, good morning, the regulator, good morning, Dr. Granny V, and good morning to Talana. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
Mr. Granny
V. Good morning.
Wow, so let's get in. Let's get Talana Jones in. Good morning, Talana Jones. Welcome to the show. Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Everyone. Good morning, everyone. Blessed and here. So I cannot complain. I want to say I love everybody. God bless you all. I pray that we all have a wonderful week. And shout out to all of my family, to Cousin B, to Brandy, to Randy, to everyone who is listening on Facebook, and to all my co-hosts and co-producers. I love you. Good morning, and happy Monday, everybody.
Okay, and Sheila Timberlake.
Happy morning, Talana.
Good morning, good morning. Elaine Cosley, good morning, Elaine. How are you? Welcome to the show. I will shout out to Cousin V. I'm sure she's listening. Without further ado, we're going to get our special guest, Britta Steinbrenner, on the show right now. Caller in 818-614. Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning to everyone.
Everybody say good morning to Britta Steinbrenner this morning.
You have to be Steinbrenner. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's an honor to be back. I'm super excited.
We're super excited to have you back on the show, and we're even more super excited about the documentary that's being done right now. And if you want to let the film crew know that they can go on my Facebook Live if they want to, at Eddie Justice Jones Jr., and then they can see me, and perhaps they can, you know, get us on together at the same time. But meanwhile, Britta, how are you this morning? How are you feeling?
I am feeling very, very well, very excited, very upbeat. Tomorrow is going to be a very exciting and historic day.
Yes, it is. And so that leads me to our topic, but I want to get one more person in. I want to get Denise Woods. Good morning, Denise Woods. Are you there? Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, everyone.
We can hear you loud and clear. Are you also on Facebook Live, Denise? Are you also on Facebook Live?
No, I'm not on Facebook Live. No, I'm not on Facebook Live. I'm just on audio with you. All I've done
today,
good morning to everyone, and the voting is about to go down in Los Angeles.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Now, good morning.
Amen. Praise God. Now, either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything, and we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of falling for anything. So this is our time to make our voices heard. This is our time to get our vote out. I know one thing for sure. I'm not going to miss voting. And matter of fact, even though I got off the off the plane at 6:30 this morning, I've been running. I don't care how far I got to run. I'm going to vote because my vote counts. Your vote counts. All of our votes count. I'm a little exhausted, a little tired, but not too tired to do what we're doing right now, talking to the masses and the people about voting and how important it is. So without further ado, we're going to go to Mrs. Britta Steinbrenner first. Why is it important to vote? Why is it important for people to get out and let their voices be heard as far as voting? Please take the floor. Britta, tell us what's on your heart about voting.
Thank you. I look at voting as both an honor and a privilege for all of us because our voices have to be heard. And I'm a firm believer that if you don't participate in the voting process, you're giving votes to the incumbent. So let's talk about the sheriff's race right now. That would be to Alex Villanueva. And if voters don't vote, then you're saying you're okay with the way things are running. And the voters have a powerful voice. And so it's if you don't vote or if you vote for the same individual, then you're saying status quo is okay. And we have to get away from that. If I can do a little bit of a history update, we've had 33 male sheriffs in the history of the department since 1850.
Wow.
And the nepotism, the favoritism, the good old boy syndrome, it's continuing to this day. So we really have to change the culture. And the culture is, let's consider and let's put a female in office. And let's give myself, because I am running the candidate for LA County Sheriff, but I have the tools and I have the plan and I have the wherewithal to affect the change that all of you will be proud of. And it's not just for law enforcement, it's for the community, because that's why we're here. So I really want to encourage you, all of you, to vote. And how important this is, Pastor Jones, is just last week there was a survey that 5.6 million ballots were mailed out. And at the middle of last week, only 7% of the ballots, the mail-in ballots, have been received. And that's less than 400,000 votes. So really today and tomorrow are critical. And if you mail in your ballot, you have until tomorrow to have it postmarked and it will still count. But if you mail in your ballot on June 8th, then it will no longer be counted.
Wow. Now I see that Sheila Timberlake voted 2 weeks ago, and I'm sure that, and everybody on Facebook Live, let us know if you've already voted or you're going to vote. That's very important. I want to go, and Britta, that is such an important opening. That was a very important opening. I like that. And I want to hear more. I want to go to Denise Woods. Denise Woods, why is it important to vote? Are you running for office on this term, Denise? And if not, tell us what's going on with voting in the Crenshaw community.
Yeah, I heard your introduction of me, and no, I'm not running for office. District 8 is not, it's the odd districts this time. So no, I'm not running for office, but I'm still out here speaking the truth, speaking to the things that pertain to us here. I want to go back to the lady that's a candidate for sheriff. That's a great thing. We do have to, We have to get Alex out of office. He has been, I mean, Jesus, we thought that he was going to be something that it didn't work out that way. It's been a horrible situation under his administration. So I totally agree with that. Yes, the voting is important. I said something at my church yesterday. I've kind of been moving around to different churches that will allow, you know, the political minutes to be spoken. And we talked about it yesterday that this voting this time is so important. It's important for our kids, our grandkids, because at the point we're at right now, especially in South LA, I'm going to speak about LA in particular, my district, we're not leaving these kids anything behind. And so sometimes we have to, you know, come out of these allegiances to these people that, you know, we're used to voting for and that we kept there for a long time. We have all these, you know, fake allegiances to these people. But if you just look around and see the state that we're in, you got to do something different. We got to make these changes. The only way we can make it is if we get out there and vote. I mean, you know, complaining. We all have our complaints and things that we're not happy with. But this is a way to change the game and you change the people. And so we spoke yesterday. You know, I want to just say these last two things as it pertains to the Sheriff's Department, because that is very, very important in our community. And
yes, it is.
The killing of the 18-year-old Andre Cordado in Gardena.
Yeah.
That kid that was shot times in the back. Another young man, Ryan Tymon, who was shot at 34 times by the L.A. Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
Alex chose not to do anything about that. He does not respond to our to the civilian committee, the oversight committee that was put together by the L.A. County Board of Supervisors. I mean, you're talking about the gangs that's inside of this sheriff's department, and I hope our candidate on the line will address especially the gang situation, because these people are out here just executing people. And, you know, and this is trauma in itself alongside of the economic that we deal with and just all the other disparities, and then we deal with these types of things. So anyway, I won't keep going on and on, but I can't stress enough that the mayorship is important. It's certainly important. All of them are, but the sheriff and the mayor is the main two that I've been out here pushing for people to make sure you get out and vote and get these folks out of office.
Now, Denise Woods, I want you to meet Britta Steinbrenner. Britta Steinbrenner, please meet Denise Woods, who ran for city council not long ago. Go right ahead. You guys say hi to each other.
Hi. Good morning, Denise. I have to say I love your energy and what you just talked about. You're spot on addressing deputy gangs, addressing our deputy-involved shootings. That is one of the cornerstones of my campaign. But it all starts with community policing, and that's with law enforcement investing in the community and for us to regain the trust of the community. And I have so many policies and plans in place that I don't have enough time on this show to share how or actually go in depth with all my policies. So it's really important that all the listeners go to my website, which is brittaforsheriff.com, the number 4. And really take a moment to look at all my policies, because it addresses some of the issues. And I want to especially touch upon the Civilian Oversight Commission that you referenced, because I look at them as my checks and balance. I am not perfect. None of us leaders are. But you have to have someone that you can go to, talk to, have a relationship with. And even if it's an unfavorable conversation, it has to always be directed in the best interest of our residents. And the Civilian Oversight Commission, they are an excellent body that can give us the advice. And if they ever ask for documentation, I will provide it. If I ever get subpoenaed to testify, I will testify. It's everybody has a piece of this puzzle, and together we're going to have an entire puzzle. But right now it's fragmented. Pieces are missing.
Yeah,
well,
that's good to hear. You know, we all have to do our research on our candidates. And so I'm going to do that, because today, actually, I'm going out to vote, because some kind of way I didn't get my mail-in ballot in time, but I'm going to go to a voting center. And so I'm going to do my research on you before I get out of here today. And the last thing I'm going to say, and this is not a me and you show, I know, Eddie, just let me ask her this one question. In regards to the L.A. County, you know, in the men's jail. You know, there was a survey just done at UCLA about the last 59 deaths that occurred inside of the jail. That is something that has to be addressed, as, you know, you being the sheriff. And also, you are also a female, you know, in which I push women for everything. But this gang life inside the sheriff's department, do you really think you can dismantle that and handle that? That's just a yes or no, you know, basically, because that's an issue.
Absolutely, yes. And keep in mind, over these last 4 years, the jails have been neglected. There was jail reforms that were put into place, and the jails under this administration were not important. It was all about patrol operations. But you have to find a balance, because both arenas are important. And I'm looking at jail reform to make our facilities state of the art, make sure we have ample training, also trying to convert some of our county facilities into mental health and drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers so that we can offer treatment, counseling, medical treatment, rehabilitative programs to make sure that those leaving our custody can be successful out in the community. So that is a priority, and I'm going to put leaders in place that are strong enough to make those unfavorable decisions and to supervise and hold my employees accountable. So that's a huge number one priority.
Now, Britta, just hold that thought 1 second. I want to shout out Enrique Lee. What's up, Enrique? How you been? And Barbara Jean, Minister Barbara Jean Farley. I want to shout you guys out on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us. Now, what people don't know, Britta, is that you served 35 years on the force with the Sheriff's Department, and you were also a captain at the Sheriff's Department. Tell me, what will you do for people who have mental disabilities that are in the jail that should be in a mental institution instead of being incarcerated? What is your plan to regulate that particular thing that's been going on for quite some time? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
So thank you, Pastor Jones. So that's one of the biggest arenas where I have the most influence, when I have individuals that are in my custody, because then I can have them medically assessed. I can make sure that they're placed in the proper housing and that they receive all the services that they need. And let's start with medical and dental. Let's start with counseling. Let's start with rehabilitation, because you have to invest in these individuals, because my goal and how I assess my performance is having their successful rehabilitation. And that's hiring the adequate personnel, medical staff to treat them, having counseling personnel available, having the mental evaluation teams available, and then making sure that when these individuals are healed or treated or they're released to go back into the community, that I partner with a lot of these nonprofit community programs that we have out there. And we have a lot of rehabilitation programs, step-down reentry programs that I want to tap into, and then also increase my interaction with the Department of Mental Health, because I worked with them from a security aspect where my personnel, when I was in charge of County Services Bureau, we provided security for their buildings, and we had great relationships with all the employees. So I have an insider's view of all the services that they offer, and they're very, very beneficial, and they work. So we have to bring all these organizations together and partner with them. But it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take time, and we have to build upon this and grow with it.
Yes, we do. Now, I want to shout out a couple of people. Maurice Valentine, which is Bully the Bull. Bully the Bull goes around telling people not to bully people. And one day we'll have him back on the show. We've had Bully the Bull, Maurice Valentine from Tennessee, before. We'll do it again. This is a very important topic we're discussing right now. Not only are we talking about the Sheriff's Department, we're also talking about voting. And I want you to go out and vote for Britta, and tomorrow is your event, and I'm going to be at your event tomorrow. Tell everybody about your campaign party that you're going to have tomorrow.
Well, I call it an election gathering where those that have supported, those that have sponsored me, it is my opportunity to say thank you, but also for us to come together and watch the ballots being counted. You know, the voting polls close by 8 o'clock, and then the ballots will be counted, and some of the results will be aired on live TV. But it's historic, because in the history of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, we've never had a female candidate, and we've never had a female sheriff. And it's a very unique race, because originally we had 10 candidates running. Now we have 9 candidates that are running for this position and in the hopes to oust Alex Villanueva. So it is really very, very important that your voices be heard, that you vote, because it is going to be the voters that are ultimately going to decide who the next sheriff is. And so tomorrow is just an opportunity to have everybody come together so we can support one another. And I'm very honored, Pastor Jones, that you will be there.
Yes. And now I want to get someone in the studio. Call in the 503-747. Is that you, Linda Goldie? Good morning,
That's
Linda
me.
Goldie. How are you? Good morning. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie all the way. I'm sorry. What was that, Linda?
Yeah, I just said I don't want to say how I am.
Well, we're so glad you're alive and well. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie, our poetess.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Welcome.
Good morning, everybody.
So, Britta, I want to go back to you, and I want to ask you a question. There are a lot of gangs in Los Angeles, California. Matter of fact, I sat on a panel with the Secret Service. I sat on a panel with Congresswoman Waters, and I sat on a panel with the FBI and Secret Service to talk about the gang problem in L.A. County. And there were over 100... There were a lot of gangs. I mean, a lot. They have a gang book, and the gang book is full of every gang you can think of. What will you do? Because I think if some gang members have jobs, they'll stop banging. I think if some gang members have opportunities to do other things, they'll think of other things to do. What is your plan, Britta? What do you plan to do about this gang infestation in L.A. County? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Thank you. So it's going to start with my community policing program, and that's where we invest in the community. And it starts with us having high visibility patrols throughout the community, throughout the residential areas, throughout the business district. And we need to have our fingers on the pulse as to what's happening in the community. And it starts with also with the unit commander taking ownership of the station and taking ownership of the community. And when there's an issue, we address it. When there's a crime spike, we have extra patrol, high saturation, high visibility patrol. We have community town hall meetings. We have neighborhood watch and business watch programs. I really want to bring the community and unite them with the station personnel in their cities. So, for instance, for East LA Station, I have an artist rendition of how that station is going to look, because I'm going to demolish it. It's going to be rebuilt. It's going to be environmentally and community friendly. And what I mean by that is we're going to have a community center. So we're going to have after school programs for the youth. We're going to have after school, or we're going to have programs for our senior community. There's going to be athletic fields. There's going to be exercise equipment, so that the deputies can become role models for our youth to get them hopefully interested in maybe a law enforcement career, but also to do well in school and to stay in school. And we've missed that connection. I see a huge divide from our youth to our adults. And so I want to bridge that gap so that the youth have motivation, they feel wanted, they feel motivated, they get involved in athletics, they do well in school, so they don't have to go back onto the streets and get involved in gangs. And when we have active gangs in our areas, we're going to address them. And we're not going to allow that, but we all have to work together, and the community has to be able to feel confident and trustworthy that when there's an issue, a problem, that they bring it to our attention so that we can address it.
Now, Britta, you know, there's a lot of people who want to, hey, Diana Forte, how are you? God bless you, Diana Forte. Welcome to the show. Please, everybody on Facebook at Eddie Justice Jones Jr., share the show with 5, 10, 15 people right now. Just share it with them. tell them we have some exclusive special guests. We have Denise Woods on, our special guest. We're going to get back to her in just a moment. And then we have our exclusive special guest, Britta Steinbrenner, who is running for the Chief of Police of L.A. County Sheriff's Department. And tomorrow, I mean, people should be getting out in droves voting today, and make sure you get out there and do it, because if you don't do it, then your vote wasn't counted. But, Britta, there is a problem with African-Americans getting into the department. Some of them might not have certain degrees. What will be simplified to help get more people of color into the Sheriff's Department, and what type of training programs will you have available for them if they want to pursue being a sheriff? What will you do to entice them to get into the Sheriff's Department? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
So it starts with the recruitment process, and it's going out to the different communities to get them interested, number one. And then once we have them interested, to have pre-academy programs, to where if you need physical fitness, that we train with you. If you need educational, right, that we encourage you to go to school, maybe get your associate's degree. But I want to have mechanisms in place to, number one, start the recruitment process, and how do we do, like, study programs so that you can pass the exams and encourage you to advance your education. But then once you're hired on the department, I want to make sure that I have, number one, diversity within the department, because for the African-American population on our department, we're below 10%. We're at 9%, and that's unacceptable. I put goals together, and I would like to eventually see it at 15%, if not more. But I have to have a starting mark. But our department has to reflect the communities that we serve, and so I want to put more individuals of color at the different patrol stations so that there can be relationship building. I want to encourage all the different minorities to apply for different specialized units, and then I'm going to have training programs in place to help with the promotional process. And I will share with you that my command staff, the ultimate command staff that I have, my inner circle, will be very diverse. And I will also have men and women of color on my command staff, because I need everyone to work together and to reach out to one another. But it is up to me to motivate individuals to want to hire on to the Sheriff's Department. That starts with going to high schools, to colleges, hosting job fairs, hosting meet and greets with the community, open houses, so that they can see what it's like on the inside with the Sheriff's Department. So that's my starting point.
Okay. Now, one of the other problems that we have had is, you know, of course we talked about it, and I want to reiterate again, deadly force. Deadly force has been used within the Sheriff's Department, not under your jurisdiction, but under Venezuela and other Sheriff Lee Baca. And I worked on a few of those cases because, you know, I work in the civil rights arena. One of them was John Thomas Horton III. For those who haven't looked that case up, he was beat to death inside the men's central jail. They said that he hung himself. We found out after we got another autopsy that he didn't hang himself. His liver was perforated. He was beat so bad. And it was done by what they called at that time the 3000 gang, which were the sheriffs who had the barcodes on the back of their neck. What will you do to ensure that deadly force is not used? Because, Britta, they have PR-24, they have mace, they have tasers, they have plastic bullets. What will you do to make sure that deadly force is not used on individuals who they're pursuing? Go right ahead.
So sometimes people think that we're a broken record, but training is key. And I really want to look at the training that we're offering in the academies, the training that we're offering during jail operations, which is a three-week course prior to any deputy starting to work in the jails. Look at the training policies that we have in patrol, and then make sure that the policies that we have in place that deal with using force that we streamline them and are very specific on what we can do, what we can't do, and make sure that we have the continuous training and that we have role model scenarios that we discuss it. And then we take situations that have occurred and we look at them as a lessons learned and how can we build, how can we do better. A lot of it is communication.
I apologize, Britta, for interrupting you so abruptly. This question came from Texas, from Lufkin, Texas. And the question is from Randy Lamb. I love a lot of her points. So he loves your points. But when it comes to gangs, they're going to recruit 24/7. Will the police put forth the same energy to show they're not all bad when kids look up to gangs more than they do the police? What does that say about the police? Could you please answer that question for Randy Lamb all the way out in Texas?
So, Randy, that shows that we're not doing our job. And when I hired on in 1987, I was extremely proud to say that I had a career in law enforcement. Over the years, that has changed to this is just a job. So we have to reinvest and we have to motivate the youth to say a career in law enforcement is very encouraging and it's very, very rewarding because we are public servants. We're out there to help the community. And it's going to start with me, with my goals, with my expectations, and what the vision is for the department. Where are we going to be in 1 year? Where are we going to be in 5 and 10 years? And this is what the community needs to know. Because right now, we're treading water is the way I look at it. We don't know what direction we're going. We're treading water just to stay afloat. That's wrong. So they will have direction. They will have leadership. The command staff that I have in place will have a plan. We will also be involving all of the elected leaders. I will be working with the Board of Supervisors. I will be working with all the other municipalities because we all have to have the same message that we're here to help the community. And here's some of the rewards that we received. It is so rewarding to be able to help someone and see them succeed or see somebody on the department promote or move on to specialized units. And people, the communities need to understand that law enforcement is not just about the jails and working patrols. There's specialized assignments that are also very rewarding. But I have to put that information out there, and I have to allow our youth to come in and have an insider view of, wow, this is a pretty cool job. But it's not a job. It's a career. So it's a work in progress because we've let it go, especially for these last 4 years. So by the time I take office in December, I will have my plan, and I will be sharing that with everyone.
Now, Randy put a heart up on, after you answered the question, he put a heart up, and thank him for that.
Randy, thank you. I wish I could meet you, and I appreciate the fact that you're listening to the show, and although you don't live in Los Angeles, that you care. And just for the record, I have a daughter who also lives in Texas, so my heart goes out to Texas.
Excuse me. I want to go back to Denise. Denise, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Denise, do you have another question or statement for Britta?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Britta, where is her event at for tomorrow? Is it here in, locally in L.A.? I'm just curious. I want to maybe come by.
It's in Northridge, and if you email me or if you go on my website and try to contact me, I will gladly give you that information. And I would be honored for you to stop by.
Okay. Okay, very well. Thank you.
Or if Denise, I will if you reach out to Pastor Jones, he can give you the address as well.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. The call is over.
Okay.
Now what I want to do is I want to switch reels a little bit. I want to go to our executive board here from Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, starting with Professor Reams. Professor Reams, do you have a question or a statement for Britta? Go right ahead, Professor Reams, take the floor.
Actually, Pastor Jones, I don't have a question or so because I have reviewed Britta's information, And happy to say that I did vote for you. So, and my ballot went in a few weeks ago. So it's, and because I'm part of the deal with the elections and things like that, they sent me back my text saying that it had been received and it had been counted. So no questions.
Wow.
It's an honor to have you on there, working out there. And my prayers for my birthday on Wednesday or even, is that you are our new sheriff. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Can I say this is Denise again.
Eddie. Yeah, go right ahead, Denise.
Greta.
Yes.
Me and my old man are sitting here listening. He's listening to this conversation, and we both just decided we're going to vote for you as well. And that's number one. And number two, to the gentleman who just got off the line, my birthday is also Wednesday, June the 8th.
Wow, what a coincidence! Well,
excellent. Two Geminis.
My sister Vera, her birthday is June the 2nd. There's a lot of June birthdays, so really quick timeout. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to all the June people. To June the 30th, that's a happy birthday to Wanda.
Woohoo.
And anybody has a birthday in June. God bless all the June people. And June the 10th, that's someone's birthday. Hey, happy birthday to all the June people. Now, back on track. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Britta? Go right ahead, Clarence. Take the floor.
Yes, once again, thank you, Britta, for coming in our community. Thank you for coming to our show. I have like an analogy that I'd like to share with all our listeners and even to you, Britta, and all the panelists.
Okay.
You know, Los Angeles, for over 170 years, we've been getting water from the same irrigation system coming to that same water cooler. That water cooler has corroded. It has been rusted out. And now we need to change the pipes in this irrigation system. We need a whole new water cooler to come to and have a conversation about that, not only the deputy sheriff, but even the people of Los Angeles County can come to together and have a peaceful, meaningful, and understanding conversation. That new water cooler is Britta. Britta is the new water that we need to be drinking here in L.A. County. We need to change the water that we have been getting. It is corrupted. It is corroded. It is past tense. It's time for a new sheriff to come to town, and her name is Britta Steinbrenner. Me and my wife have cast our ballot from Wagon, Montana. It's in L.A. County. We're just waiting for them to open it up tomorrow, and you got our count.
Thank you so much, and I really enjoy that analogy. That is spot on.
Wow. So now, without further ado, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, do you have a question or statement for Britta?
Well, not a question, but a statement. I am enthused. I am excited. I will be returning back to California today, and I will put my vote in. You have my vote, and thank you so much for making a difference in our community, like a Proverbs 31 woman.
Vera, thank you very much,
right.
And I'm honored. Thank you.
I want to go to my daughter, Solana Jones. Solana Jones, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Britta?
Ms. Steinbrenner, I just want to say congratulations to you ahead of time. I will be casting my vote for you. My only question is because I have been dealing more with mental disabilities and challenges, will there be any pet teams or special pet teams that will be available for the Sheriff's Department?
So it is my goal to have at least two mental evaluation teams, which are the MET teams, assigned to each of my patrol stations on days and PMs.
which is the afternoon shift, and then one on the early morning, so that we are available to go out there and address the needs when they occur. And with that also, I'm going to make sure that we have some more specialized training and at the desk when the calls first come in, so that we get the right information and we don't cause any more anxiety to the caller who's already a little bit stressed. But then also that when we go out into the field that we're fully equipped, we have the training, the compassion, and the ability to deal with these individuals. And I think we can be very, very successful, because what we're lacking too is the compassion and the understanding. And I'm going to bring in some of the Department of Mental Health, some of their counselors, to train with our different deputies, the different professional staff, and our SWARM personnel, so that they truly have an understanding and we can work with the community. And then I also want to take it one step further and show the success within the communities of what we've done with regards to dealing with those suffering from mental illness, because we don't see the end results. We see the calls that are coming in, but nobody understands what happens. And I think we need to share that, but of course with the family's permission, and we can be very neutral or generalized with the scenario that we dealt with. But I want the community to understand what we're doing and what some of the results are.
Now, Britta, Annette Williams, how are you? Annette Williams, call into the show. You know the number. Call in, 646-787-8064. If you want to call in and ask a question or make a statement, 646-787-8064. Press 1, it'll put you in the queue. Britta Randy Lamb from Texas said, thank you for giving me a better understanding of what it is you're trying to accomplish when it comes to change altogether. So he just wanted to shout that out. So let's give Randy a big hand for all the way from Texas and shout now that he's asking some very important questions. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Now, I have a caller in the 678. Before we go to Linda Goldie, I want to get this caller in the 678-353 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hello, Pastor.
Oh, my gosh. Is it Annette?
This is Annette Davis Jackson. Yes.
Yes. Senator to be.
Yes. Yes. We got a lot of work
Everybody say good morning. Good morning to Annette. Everybody give her a good morning shout out.
Good morning.
Good morning, Annette Davis. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Senator to be Annette Davis Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning, Annette.
Good morning.
Now we have, and Randy said good morning on Facebook Live. Now, Annette, this is amazing that you came on at the right time, because, you know, Britta's running for office for chief of the sheriff's department, and I'm sure that you have a question or a statement for her. So go ahead, Annette, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Britta Steinbrenner, who's running for chief?
Yes. You know what? First of all, thank you just for running. You know, it takes courage to run for public office. You know, a lot of people shirk that because they believe that they don't have a voice. So thank you for running. So the question for the sheriff's office is responsible for many things, right? What I care about with the sheriff's office, particularly in Los Angeles, is many seniors and their families are losing their homes due to sheriff's sales. Okay, with foreclosure, okay? I would like to see the sheriff's office find out, hey, how can these families protect their legacy wealth, right? Because they lose their properties due to taxes. And so to me, that's so very important. And then on the other end for the sheriffs, hey, I back the sheriffs. And the bottom line is that at an early age, right, we need people on the streets riding bikes, making sure, because let me tell you, if we don't put the fear in people that they need to do the right thing, so how do you as a future sheriff put the fear in the community at the same time you're the community servant at the same time so the people can go on to their purpose?
So that's where my community policing plan is so important, because one of the
proponents of it is I'm going to have community liaison deputies that are going to be involved in the community and know the residents. But then I'm also going to incorporate bike patrols, foot patrols, because that's where you're actually on the ground and you can see and feel what's going on and keep the pulse of the community at the forefront. So that's extremely. I also want to rebuild our clergy unit, because what I found is having that religious faith involvement to where the clergy unit can reach out to the community, that builds trust, because then they can bring information out and we can work together. And we used to have a clergy unit. It was very strong, but then it was misappropriated, and we're going to start from the ground up, but we're going to build that. And then I have to get information and resources to the community to understand our purpose and why we're out there, and for them to feel confident to tell us, here's what I need, here's what I need help with. And then once I have that information, I can reach out to the different entities. So you have the auditor and controller's office that's responsible for issuing the foreclosure notices or anything to do with taxes. And in our community center and on social media, we're going to be able to push information out to where if they have issues or problems, here's a number to call and where you can get a live voice and not a taped message. So we can be the facilitator to get them to the right community or the right department, because I know how frustrating that is, even for myself, when you call someone and you constantly have a recorder after a recording message. It's very frustrating. So I want to be able to be the middleman in that respect, to where we can offer the resources so that they can help get the help that they need.
I think that is so beautiful. I mean, that is so beautiful. And then an answer to probation. So many people do not have the money, okay, to pay their probation fees across the state of California. How can the sheriff's office kind of facilitate that so that we won't keep recidivism going?
That's a good question.
So a lot. Yes. So where I came from County Services Bureau, we were providing security for some of the probation facilities. But it's up to the laws that are being passed. It's up for the voters to vote on different measures. We're at the mercy of the district attorney when, you know, he does no cash bail. So that's one option. But for probation, just from what I've seen, is they need more probation officers. They need more supervisors. I really want to push for a database to where we have access so we can tap into their system so we know who the individuals are and how to help them and monitor them and, you know, give them opportunities. And what I've seen so often is you have to have motivation. You have to have hope for these individuals that they want to get better, that they want to have a better life. And just relationship building is what it's going to start off with.
Britta, let me interact, if I might. I don't mean to interrupt you so abruptly, but isn't District Attorney Gascon, isn't he the one making policies and procedures right now for the District Attorney's office?
Yes, he is.
No.
Yeah, I understand that he is, as we speak, they're getting they're getting signatures to vote him out of office because they're unhappy with his way of doing what he does. How do you feel about, and I'm just getting your opinion, about District Attorney Gascon and the way that because he's promised a lot of things to the people when he came into office, and a lot of the people have been very unhappy with his actions. What do you think he could do better that he's not doing right now that could help people understand how his job can help turn things around with the community and with his policymaking procedures?
So for me, it's all about communication and having the whys answered. And that's why I have been very dedicated on having policies and procedures in place that the community, that the voters can look at and hold me accountable for when I'm in office. And so the reality is he could be in office when I take office, and I have to work with him. I have to forge some type of relationship. But we in law enforcement, we still have to do our job. We still have to go out there. We have to take the criminals off the street. They have to be arrested. But we also have to promote rehabilitation for those that don't necessarily have to go to jail. And that's one thing that he's missing. He's missing the opportunity for diversion and having different programs out there that we can take these individuals and help turn them around. So I'm going to be working with him. If he chooses not to, well, then I still have my job to do. But I'm going to choose and promote rehabilitation over recidivism.
Amen. Oh, I mean, that's on fire. And the last thing that I will say, I represented a veteran in California as an advocate, right? And the veteran, she went to court probably almost 38 times, right? She was a passenger in a drop-top Mercedes in Long Beach, right? You know, county.
Wow.
And the bottom line is you know, this is amazing. So I finally got her, and I live in Georgia, right? But I kept coming back to Los Angeles to help her. And it's amazing. It took 2 years to get her off that case because she was just a passenger, and California had laws. But the police, the sheriffs, they arrested her. I mean, they bruised her. It's just amazing. So what I would like to see is what we can do to not have that use of force, when the use of force is not attributable to any type of criminal effect, because it took me 2 years to get her off this case. Going into court
Sister
with her,
Annette,
the
Sister
judge...
Annette.
Yes.
Sister Annette, hold that thought for 1 second.
Okay.
Clarence and Mellon,
I'm gonna
go to Linda Goldie, but Clarence and Mellon, I want you to take over. I have to address something very important right now. So Clarence and Mellon, take over the show. Our co-producer is going to take over for a moment. He's going to run it for a minute. While I step away, I have to handle something extremely, very important. Clarence, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am, Pastor Eddie.
Take it over, Brother Clarence. It's your show for now. I'll be right back. Excuse me, everyone. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. Because we all have rights. I hope everyone is enjoying the show. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are. If you're on Facebook Live, send it out to a friend. If you want to call into the show to ask the question, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue. I'll be right back. Clarence and Mellon, take over. You and Professor Reams and the rest of the crew, do what you do on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. We're going to get Annette to finish her point. Then we're going to go to Linda Goldie. That way she can have an uninterrupted opinion, question, or concern for our exclusive guest, Brenna Stein, Brenna Sheriff, to be. So, Annette, go ahead. Finish your point, please.
Yes, and the sheriff, let me tell you, they arrested her. It was just so amazing. And even today, you know, I'm crying on this because she is broken and traumatized, and she had to come back to California, her family being in Georgia, a veteran serving her country, you know, and we did it, you know, but I had to fly from Georgia to L.A. to really help her. The judge, thank God I had, you know, all the paperwork on my phone. The public defenders were not very helpful. They wouldn't meet with her until the day of court. So, you know, I think that the sheriff's office should be involved in all of these, because some people shouldn't be involved in court procedures in jail. She got arrested. She was a passenger. So I just hope that we go across the continuum of should I say criminal justice reform as far as restoration. And I appreciate what you do, but like I said, now I don't even know where she is, because once she once we freed her from that criminal case, I mean, she had to take just a reprieve. And I haven't talked to her, but I want to say that people are being injured, okay, from being in the court system, being arrested, being falsely arrested. And I care about that, and that's what I will say.
Thank you. Can I just share that regardless of the contact, our contact with
a citizen, regardless of background, has to be professional at all times. And we do have the body-worn cameras that will now be able to capture the contact. And if there's issues, I would hope that the individual asks to have a supervisor respond to the scene, because we have our field sergeants with our sergeants. But we also have to do a better job at training our deputies and our supervisors that are out there on de-escalation techniques, verbal communication, and really explaining to the individual why they're being stopped, and making sure that we're within the law and that our policies are extremely detailed, so there's no questions left unanswered. So this is huge, and I want to have that avenue and that comfort level for when there's issues like that in the community, that they can call the watch commander or the captain and have an honest conversation and not feel threatened or scared to report any such situation, and know that we're going to follow up with them.
You know, thank you. The community is scared. They're really scared. I promise you, they are so scared. So if we could have listening sessions, that would be amazing, so that you can hear from the community. Because once you hear from the community, you know, you're going to be astounded. And we just don't want to wait till crazy things happening in the community. We want to know how the community feels.
Now, with that being said, I apologize for interrupting so abruptly. I'm back on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show on Facebook Live. I want to shout out Rashonda Castile. Rashonda, thank you for allowing me to come to your program and speak to all of the young ladies and the young men and women. I'm always ready to speak at a program that has to do anything with our youth, lifting up our youth. So, Rashonda, you know how to reach out to me. Whenever you have another event and you need a speaker to come and talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, and human rights, that's what we're here for. Now, without further ado, while we have time, let's see. I want to make sure we still have Denise on. So, Denise, are you still with us, Denise Woods?
Yes, I'm still here. This is interesting. I'm not going to hang up.
Amen, amen. This is intriguing. It's interesting. It's educational. It's knowledgeable. And it also, we need this information, and that's why we have this show, so we can talk about things that we as a people need to talk about, so that we can be educated, knowledgeable, and wise enough to have enough wisdom to understand that it's something productive and positive and uplifting that can help us get to the next phase of what we want to do. And I want to go to Linda Goldie right now, because Linda has not had her chance to ask a question or make a statement. Linda Goldie, please take the floor, Linda Goldie. Do you have a question or a statement for Denise Woods and for Britta Steinbrenner?
Okay, my question is this. I'm a senior citizen, and I don't have a home because I live in an apartment. But, you know, I'm living in an apartment with the help of Section 8. What's going to happen to the people that have homes, that lose them, that they're, you know, their whole expectation is that someday they may be able to sell that house and get some money to move maybe to a better place. And now, are they going to be homeless?
Yes, they are.
Interesting. Britta, did you hear that question, Britta?
Yes, I did. So for law enforcement, my primary goal is to make sure that you're living in a community where you feel safe, secure, and welcomed. And when there's issues, situations like that, there has to be the ability for us to give you information to contact different units, different sections to get help, to reach out to the Board of Supervisors, because that is one arena that I would have to refer you to the experts. But we as a community, you know, when there in the past, when there were homeowners that had issues with painting their homes or needing a roof, we kind of got the businesses, and they donated resources, paint, roofing materials, and then the deputies, as part of the COPS program, they would go and they would help fix up these homes. That is something that's very, very tangible that I want to reintroduce to the community. But when somebody's having financial difficulties in maintaining their home, I want to be able to have resources available to where the homeowner could reach out to different services, especially with the Department of Public Social Services, because that's one of their specialties. But I could be a conduit to to push out community resources.
Mm. Now, Britta, I want to let you know that Randy Lamb from Texas said, because, you know, like some people get into the witness protection program or people want to call the sheriff's department and report something that's going on. What his statement was, it's the follow-up afterwards that counts. People have spoken up before and have not been protected after giving info. So what do you say when people come up and they say, hey, look, somebody's over here selling crack cocaine on our street and we want them off our street, and then that person needs to be protected, and they're not getting protected like they said they would protect him, is what Randy is saying. What will you do to ensure that that person that reports these criminals or criminal activities will to be protected? Because I've seen people, what they call, share that information, and they end up getting killed, literally. So, Britta, how will you address that and handle that?
That starts with the detective unit that's assigned to each station and the detectives that are on handling the investigation, that each case is handled individually, confidentially, and that the information is protected. And that's where that compassion, the care, the involvement, handling each case separately. And when there's an issue, we have to do our part and not discount someone just because they give us great information and then we no longer need them. So it's everything's on a case-by-case basis, but we're going to be professional. We're going to look at the best interest for those that are giving us the information. And it starts with also having the supervision, having the training, and understanding, you know, what is the case and then what is the long-term ramifications. So you always have to have an option A, B, and C. So there's a lot of growth
now,
that we
Britta,
have to do.
Now, Britta, now you know the police, the LAPD, they have the DAPS program, DAP program for youth. You know, like if you want to catch kids in middle school and high school, you want to encourage them to be a sheriff, and then they want to be a sheriff, but they're afraid of what people might say. What type of youth programs like the DAPS, like the LAPD have, what type of program does the sheriffs have to entice young people to want to get into a youth sheriff's program? Do you guys have anything like that, or will you create something like that so they could be proud to wear the uniform to school? You know, like the DAPS, they wear their uniforms and they go around and help the police. Do you have something similar, or will you create a program like that?
Yes, we have the Explorer program, and that usually starts with 13 to 21-year-olds, where they go through an academy, and it's 6 months, and it's on the weekends that they go to the academy, and then they graduate, they wear their Explorer uniform, they help the stations in different categories with working the front counter, taking fingerprints, providing security at different events. And really, they develop relationships with the deputies. They become their role models. And then it really gives them the segue into starting the application process to becoming a deputy sheriff. And I want to grow that program. And many a time, they have them at various stations. And there used to be a van that would come and pick up some of these kids that weren't able to make it to class that lived in the area. So I want to make sure that I have resources available to, number one, encourage them, but also make sure that they attend their academies. And it's a huge celebration for the graduation. Family and friends are invited. And with COVID, things have kind of settled down just a little bit where we haven't had the attendance like we would wish for. But I really want to move that program forward. I also want to have an intern program for our student workers that are 16 mm-hmm. and older, 18 and older, that we can employ them and give them the opportunity to have some type of employment, whether it's clerical
yeah.
or at the station, so that they learn responsibility and have some financial
yeah.
security. And, you know, it's all about, again, reinvesting in our youth, because there's really a disconnect. There's us and our generation, and then there's our youth, and we have to be their role models.
Right. Now, Britta, now I want to send a shout-out on Facebook Live to Minister Terry Herbert. Good morning, Minister Terry Herbert. Welcome to the show. We're so honored to have you on this morning. I want you to get your pencils and papers out right now. Get your pencil and paper out while we give you the word of the week and the scripture of the week. The word of the week and the scripture of the week. And with all these shootings and mass shootings going on and these hit and runs and all this crime and no milk on the shelf, our word of the week is safety. Safety. Safety is our word of the week. And make it applicable to your week. Safety is important. Safety is first, you know. So that is our word of the week. Now, our scripture of the week is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so read that and let it sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. God is saying that you will receive him. Eventually you have to receive him, and you will if you want to. Hallelujah, because the only thing stopping you from receiving God is you. So that's our scripture of the week, which is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And our word of the week is safety. Okay. So you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Jesse Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Now, there are no smoking guns on this show. It's the real deal, Holyfield. It's live and in living color, as you can see me, in living color. Our very exclusive special guest is Denise Woods, who is a community worker and a civil rights activist in her own rights, and also Britta Steinbrenner, who is a 35-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department and was also a captain, and that's a big position in the Sheriff's Department, who is now running for chief of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and I believe that she will get that position, and I support her 100%. We do need change, and you will not get change unless we make change. Thank you, Minister Terry Herbert, for putting Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah. Seymour. All right. Cool, cool. There it is right there. It's right on the page. So without further ado, we're getting ready to go into our regular segments. But before we go into our regular segments, can we give Britta a big hand and Denise Woods, and just give them a big hand? Can we give them a really, 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 really big hand? And also, can we give Annette Jackson a big hand? Because she'd be here. Let's give Annette Jackson, Senator to be. Okay, now Annette Jackson, tomorrow is a great event for Britta. And Britta, can you just give out the information where your event's going to be at? And perhaps we can get Minister Terry Herbert to type it into the page here. And the definition of safety is on the page as well. Thank you so much, Minister Terry Herbert. Please take the floor, Britta, and give the information out for tomorrow's event, if you have it with you.
Can Pastor Jones, can they go to the website and we'll have that?
Okay.
The address is on the bottom of the mailer, and we'll put that out there.
Okay, you want to give out the website real quick so people – hey, Felita, you want to give out the website so they can go to the website and get the information?
Yes, it's Britta4Sheriff.com, and it's the number 4. Or they can email info@Britta4Sheriff.com. And that's for any personal contact. And then we'll respond
Amen.
Back to them. But, Pastor Jones, can I share one an update that I'm very, very proud of? And because you opened the show with all the mass shootings that are occurring. And I just want your viewers to have another view of who I am. Because on May 31st, Moms That Demand Action, they awarded
yes.
me the Gun Sense Candidate Distinction. And that's because I'm
wow.
an advocate for gun violence prevention and making the commitment
yes.
that I'm going to govern with gun safety in mind. And that's very, very important. And I had last Friday, this is Gun Awareness Month, right, gun safety.
And I was able to go down to the Watts Tower and meet with a lot of these moms that are so passionate about protecting their children and, you know, gun safety in mind. And I walked with them. They walked from different schools in the area, and then they met at the Watts Tower, and then they did like a little presentation in honor of the 19 students that were killed in the Texas school elementary school shooting. And it was very powerful, and I was able to speak to them afterwards. And they're very, very passionate, and I support that. And so gun safety, preventing gun violence, that's also a very, very important topic for me. But I just want the viewers to know that I'm an advocate for that.
Well, that is beautiful. Can we give a big hand for Britta and her award that she has received? Big hand.
Yes. Congratulations.
Now, amen. I want to say this really quick. Cousin V is on Facebook Live. Can we give her a big hand? You know, she just, we had the homegoing ceremony on Saturday. It's really, you know, but let's give a big hand for Veronica, Cousin V. Big hand for Cousin V. We love you. Just tell her you love her. You know, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you, Cousin V.
We love you so much, Cousin V.
We have a caller.
Love you.
Amen. Praise God. We have a caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Calling the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Okay, maybe they don't want to, they just want to, you know, okay, we'll put them back on hold. I know sometimes
but
people call and they don't want to.
Pastor Jones, we also need to talk about the gray market guns that are out on the street that are getting into the hands of our young people.
Yes, we want to address that, and we did, but we will address that again. Matter of fact, next week. We want to get an update because there's some new gun laws that have been passed, and so we want to talk about those. But first, I want to read those new gun laws and analyze and evaluate them before I discuss them. But I understand that one of the laws is you have to be 21 and over to buy a long gun, and there's some other laws that they just passed in the gun. Matter of fact, Brother Clarence or Professor Reams, if you could quickly. Look up some of the new gun laws that they just passed. I mean, just recently passed because of all the mass shootings. But to me, that's not enough. I want these guns off our streets. I want the guns off our streets. I want those guns out of the hands of the wrong people that have them in their hands. Some people that have guns, like in Philadelphia, these guys just took the guns, six or seven of them just started shooting in a crowd of people. Why do they have a gun?
Right.
I don't understand.
Right.
They don't deserve to have a gun.
But it's more than that. It's a spiritual. Let's go spiritual, if I may say.
Amen. Go right ahead. I'm right with you.
It's a spiritual nature, okay, that is trying to trap people, right? And either you're for God or you're against God. See, there's a different thing. And so what the programming is trying to get everybody fearful. I can say that we have hope in Jesus Christ. This is all I can say. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And guess what? All of those who have those guns, let me tell you, we have to go. And if the powers to be, whether the sheriffs or the police officers, if they would just shoot them in the legs so that they could live, we'd find out where their trace is. See, it's about tracking.
Right.
You got to track. What are these people listening to? Who are they governed by?
Right, exactly. Yes, I agree with you. Now, Annette, with that being said, that was a very wonderful statement that you just shared with us. But it is 10:28 a.m., and it's time for us to go into our regular segments. So without further ado, we're going to start off with some poetry to kind of cool it down a little bit. But I want to get closing remarks, so don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere, Denise Woods. Don't go anywhere, Britta. We want you both to stay on because we definitely want to get closing remarks from both of you. But without further ado, I want Linda Goldie to take the floor and give us a cool-down poetry. Take the floor, Linda. Give us poetry and motion.
Okay, I don't know if it's cool-down or not. It's called The Prophet. The prophet's not a tumbleweed driven by the wind Whatever he is going through, it's not because he sinned. The prophet lives outside the camp, but in a place of knowing exactly where the camp is going. The prophet's persecution is always hard to bear when the mantle on his shoulders can take him anywhere but out of other people's doubt. Although he may desire to hold some due respect worth more than gold, when he's led to his next test, Jesus knows that he can't rest. Although he did appeal with tears before his final hour appears, when hung and bloody he cried out because he felt forsaken. Even so, you will know when your earth is shaken.
Wow, let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie. That was a good one. Linda. I want to shout out my dear friend Alice Houston on Facebook Live. Thank you, Alice Houston. Thank you for the words of upliftment and blessings to keep up the good works. It's not easy. A lot of people think the civil rights arena is an easy arena. It's not. It is a complex, quite difficult area. When I learning so much about working on the wrongful death of Michael, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Devin Brown, Michael Brown, and so many others I can't even name, you know, over the years, and I just thank God for it. And we're getting ready to do a big project that's coming up that's going to help a lot of people in the community, but I can't talk about it right now. But when it comes to pass, you will know first on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. But without further ado, Kalana Jones. Oh, yes, anointed poetry. Kalana Jones, please take the floor and give us words of wisdom. Kalana Jones.
Thank you, Dad. Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to my segment of Words of Wisdom. I am sharing three affirmations with you today, and I pray you enjoy them, and they speak to the resonance of your heart and mind. And it reads, you either walk inside your story and own it, or you stand outside of your story and hustle for your worthiness. Do not let life discourage you. Everyone who got where he or she is had to begin where they were in the beginning. And the very last is, no obstacle is too big or too difficult for me to handle, because what lies inside of me is greater than what lies ahead of me. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening to Words of Wisdom.
All right. Cool. All right. Oh, my gosh. Well, let me stop for a second. Cousin V said, happy birthday to Vera, my cousin, June the 2nd. Sharon, my sister, June the 3rd. And she said, good poetry.
Shout out.
June the 3rd, Tisha Monica, her niece. June the 3rd, Joy Kelly, my cousin today. June 6th, prayers for her battling cancer. Also, K. Joy's sister, my cousin, June 8th. Professor Reams, our commentator, June 8th. New family member born June the 3rd, nephew Emery, and the list goes on. And I got to tell you guys, there's a slogan that says, kill cancer. I really believe they have a cure for cancer, and they just don't want it. The pharmaceutical companies do not want to cure cancer. That's how they make all their money. And it's just wrong. But I got to tell you, when I was in Texas, I went to a cancer awareness breakfast that was so wonderful, and they honored Brandy. They honored her there at the event. And I had to walk Cousin V up, and she just broke down in tears. We love you, Cousin V. We support you. And I was honored beyond words to be there. I learned so much about breast cancer and just cancer, period. And when you see that many women in a room and all of them have something in common that has to do with cancer, it's powerful, so powerful. So my heart goes out to any kind of cancer. So without further ado, just wanted to get that out there. I want to go to none other than Regulate the Man. No, it's time for health and wellness. My bad. Vera Jones, take the floor. Give us health and wellness. Vera Jones. Health and wellness.
Thank you, Eddie. I
Thank God. I was like, I hope he won't call my name before I get off the elevator, but timing is awesome. Okay. So this week I want to speak to you about ginger. Now, as you know, ginger is a wonderful spice that we can add to so many things. But I wanted to tell you a couple of medicinal properties because due to timing, but ginger is one that speeds our digestive system. It helps with an upset stomach, nausea, morning sickness, and hangovers. I hear a background noise of, you may hear some here where I'm at the airport, however, but I hear, okay, thank you. So, it also cleans and detoxifies our waste. It protects our brain, it reduces pain, PMS, arthritis, and it may help with cancer. Now, it is one that is like an odd-shaped root. It will aid with weight loss, it lowers our blood pressure, and it has inflammatory properties to help fight off infection, improve our circulation, along with controlling the insulin levels to boost our metabolism. Now, it is also one that is great to prevent cardiovascular disease. And also, as far as blood thinner, it helps to reduce the blood clots for are at risk from strokes or heart attacks. This is one that also helps to release dopamine and serotonin and to fight mental illness, like anxiety and depression. It's also expectorant, and we can use this greatly to stimulate our body when we're feeling a lot of pain. Now, you can use this as a massage oil like I do. We can have ginger tea. We have ginger candy. You can put it in one of your favorite stir fries. Now, you can make a ginger shot with lemon. You can grate it, chop it, pickle it. You can make it in your own homemade cookies, but just use some ginger weekly if you can. Okay, so last week I mentioned that I used it as a body wash. I made a gel, an ointment, and I adore the essential oil of ginger. Now, this spicy root vegetable is one that will help bring us back to improve our health of life. And one of the side effects could be perhaps diarrhea. It could lower your blood pressure too low if you have a low blood pressure already. And it may not be safe during pregnancy. Some may experience gas or bloating. And just remember, when you're using this powerful root veggie, that it will work the power. So I wanted to say to all, have a great week. And next week we'll be speaking about cloves because I don't think we have enough time here, but I did have some information about the clove. So thank you, Eddie, for allowing me to speak today. Amen.
Vera Jones.
Thank you, Auntie Dr. Granny D.
Well done, Dr. Granny V.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Eddie, did you copy the information about the clothes? Eddie, are you still there? Clarence, are you there? Professor
yes,
Reed,
I'm here, everybody. I'm here. I silenced the phone for a minute so nobody could disturb you what you were saying. But I want to invite Aretha Adams-Jones. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Oh, hello. I'm doing fine. How about you? Happy Monday to you and all the co-hosts and guests.
Well, great. Everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones.
Yes. Hello,
good morning.
Dr. Aretha.
Good morning.
And without further ado, it is time for Mental Health and You. Please take the floor, Aretha Adams-Jones, and give us Mental Health and You.
All right, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Eddie, and happy Monday to you all. I'm coming to you with this Mental Health and You segment on self-care is not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. Someone told me that. My dear friend mentioned that to me. And Google says that the definition of self-care is the practice of taking action to preserve or improve one's own health. And this is not just physical. It could be spiritual self-care, physical health care, and mental health care. So physical health care, eating healthy falls under that, exercising, getting plenty of rest, and believe it or not, good hygiene. And psychological self-care, reading a book, listening to music, reflecting on things that you are grateful for. And then lastly, spiritual self-care, praying, meditating, reading the Bible, connecting with nature, right? Remember, self-care is not selfish, and mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Well, give a big hand for Reed Adams Jones, a big hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, Cousin V just said to you, Cousin V said, happy Monday, Aretha. We need our mental health self-care, and that is so true. Self-care is not selfish. I'm going to use that one. Self-care is not selfish. We got to do. I need to do some self-care right now. I just got off the plane this morning. I am so exhausted, but to God be the glory. I'm still going because God gives me the strength and the power to continue on.
Yes.
In the name of, I laid everything about my life on, at the altar with God. I just want him to keep on leading and guiding me. And it's so important. Hallelujah. Sister Minister Terry Herbert said, this type of self-care doesn't have to involve religion, although it certainly can. According to very well mind, spiritual, she goes on, involves anything that helps you develop a deeper sense of meaning and understanding. Spiritual self-care can also help you get in tune with your beliefs and values that guide your life. That is very powerful.
All right.
And Minister Terry Herbert said, love it, Dr. Aretha. And, okay, Naveen Kumar asked me to pray for his country, and we're going to pray for your country before we get off the line. We're going to make sure that we do that. So without further ado, it is time for Regulate the Manual. Clarence and Malin, take over, and let's have Regulate the Manual. Amen. Go ahead, Clarence and Malin. Brother Clarence, are you there? Did we lose Brother Clarence?
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
First and foremost,
there you go.
Eddie, being the humble man that you are, I would like everybody to come on. Let's give Eddie another hand for the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. Congratulations. But then, Pastor Eddie, so huge. We did not let it go by the show. God acknowledge you for all your work in the community across the United States.
Thank you, God.
Human rights and all of our rights, man, throughout the land. So thank you, Pastor Eddie. Congratulations once again.
Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you, guys. I love y'all.
Yes, sir. And so, you know, this book, Regulate the Manual, I don't know what it means to you, but it means a lot to me. I review it often. I'm humbled to read it every week. We're going to start with the gangsters this week. You know, this world is just full of gangsters. It's full of monsters. But the most beautiful thing in life is it's also full of those who are good and beautiful people. And so, you know, what is a gangster? The gangster is a member of a gang of criminals. This is the definition that Webster would give you. A gangster is also a racketeer. A racketeer is stated as one who obtains money by illegal enterprise, usually involving intimidations to carry out in a racket, to practice extortion, and there's more. Within this manual, we will use the word racket as fraudulent schemes or enterprises and their activities where illegitimate activities are made workable through our bribery or intimidation and easy lucrative means of a livelihood. Racket within this manner could also be turned as slang for an occupation or business. Let us also upgrade the gangster and put some new meaning to the name. Times have changed and things have changed through the years. A gangster can also be a person who has the ability to handle and manage people, money, and things of all sorts. A gangster can also be the person who has the ability and the characteristics without all the wrongdoings and illegal racketeering. Can there be any such thing as an honest gangster? I believe that there are many gangsters who stand for doing the right thing, and they operate with all honesty. I believe that there are some good gangsters who really exist. Certainly there are plenty of gangsters out there, and they do live and fight for the good mankind as best as they can. Another name you can call a good gangster and an honest gangster is a hero. There are many heroes who have the heart, and they live the life of a gangster, and it's the heroes who are the helpers for the stabilization of a civilization, and they are the defenders of all mankind. There it is. You now have your own personal picture of a prototype last action hero. Enough on the subject of a hero for the time being. Remember, every piece of paper that you complete in turn is just one more step that you have successfully made. Continue along your journey, and it will have to last you for your lifetime. Now is the time to take out your shovel. All of you gangsters are primarily used to the shovel. Within the manual, we will have a large amount of stuff to dig through. The world and the life of the gangster. Thank you very much for listening. Go to regulatethemanual.com if you'd like to get this book. God bless you, God keep you, and regulate your way through each day, and everything will fall into place. Thank you.
Regulator.
Well done, the regulator. Well done.
All right, Brother Clarence, are you there? Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Hello, hello. Okay, good. We had a little technical difficulty there. Okay, amen, praise God. We got this. Thank you so much, Wanda. Had a little technical difficulty, but we got it back. And so, without further ado, it's time for one of the most important parts of the show. And I want to do this because I'm not plugged in and my phone's about to go out. But before this phone goes out, I want to make sure we get in the commentary. So without further ado, everybody,
commentary.
Professor Reese, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, a wonderful show that we've had for Monday as we start our week off going forward. And always, always the real deal, Holyfield. So I'm going to go through my rounds as I normally do. And as I always say, it is important. But the reason why it is important is because you all are so brilliant and so insightful that it's almost, if you look at my notes over the years, it's just all over the place of just great things. So I'm going to try to summarize all the great things that I've identified. With our topic, of course, to Pastor Jones, thank you, thank you. And, of course, congratulations again on the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. It well deserved, sir. Next, we say a shout-out to Cousin V. We love you, and please accept our prayers, and that we look forward to when you come back and do the sports report for us. To Clarence Allen, the regulator, our prophet, thank you so much for reminding us of the two types of gangsters and the difference between gangsters and heroes and the good work that's going on. As usual, no regulator has spoken, and it is written. To Dr. Granny V, once again, Ginger. That's another route that I've used and sparingly because of some of the side effects, but a good reminder, I'm going to look forward to what you're going to talk about with cloves. To Talana, once again, knocked it out of the ballpark. I'll get back to you as I normally do, circle back on some of the wonderful things that you've said through her words of wisdom. To a shout out to Melanie Opry and her work in finance and educating folks on how to become financially independent. And of course, to Dr. Aretha Jones Adams. mental health in you, always a good reminder, because again, we have to balance, have a wonderful balance. We have Dr. Grandy V, which dealing with our physical health and our nutrition, but we also have the mental health and how the two work together. And finally, to Linda Goldie, I got my hug today. Thank you so much for your poetry in motion. And to our fabulous, excellent, tremendous, superb guest, to Britta Steinbrenner, once again, congratulations just for running and the work that you're going to be doing. And like I said, I want my birthday to be that you get elected. Thank you for being on the show. To Denise Woods, always, always, you know, work in the Crenshaw District area, phenomenal, and also keeping it on the mind of keeping it real, that if whatever is going on, that the people have to make the final decision, especially with the council members in the city of Los Angeles. And then to Senator to be Annette Davis-Jackson, always an honor to have you on, especially reminding you of what can be done and the things that we need to do, and also to take the risk of running for office. And all three of you fabulous women for taking up leadership roles, because this is what's going to make all the difference for 2022 moving forward. So with that in mind, we talked about voting. So everyone, if you are still on the fence on whether you should vote or whatever in general, even if you look up Wikipedia or whatever in general, the legacy of voting here in the country has been a rocky one. I mean, we can talk about what Booker T. Washington, what all the other folks did, how the different states were had their own different voting laws and all they did. But let's give you an idea of 1859 to 1865, and then just to propose to 1965 for the Voting Rights Act to 2020, where this has been a volatile issue all the way. But we have the foresight of leaders like Brenda Steinbrenner, Denise Woods, and Senator to be Annette Davis Jackson, remind us of the importance and our ancestors who were probably here with us, that the right to vote is a privilege that we must share, we must have in order to change and move forward. And so when I think about the earlier question about what voting is, it is honoring those who fought and died so hard to provide us this privilege. I cannot, in all consciousness, fail them in their legacy, since they work so hard to, as we always talk about on the show, good noise and good trouble that leads for us to change what's going on. So as we're faced with today's election, there are a lot of things that are going wrong. And as I've also mentioned from colleague Tom Hartman overall and some of the others, is that democracy is not a spectator sport. Everybody has to be involved. And this is our opportunity to unite our voices and collaborate, get together to do something that changes direction. Because as Britt had mentioned in a previous interview, was that the issue with the sheriff's office was because leadership at the top had become corrupted, and that everything from the top then soils down, because if the leader allows it to happen, then the troops and all the employees feel that this is the norm and this is good. And her candidacy, along with Senator Annette Davis-Jackson and the activism of Denise Woods, says, no, that is not how this is supposed to be. We are supposed to be following in love, in pursuit, in collaboration with the good Lord, and bring us all together to address these issues, such as gun violence, such as crime, such as even health issues, and even areas where education and mental health are at issues. The good Lord provides us so many options that it comes now to just a choice. Either we're going to be involved and be active involved and follow his lead and take the choice that he's given us, or we're going to just sit back and relax and then say it's okay, and that things that are going wrong will just have to continue to be wrong. And Tuesday represents the change that we're looking for. And looking at ourselves in the mirror, we are the changers that we have been looking for, because by voting, we've taken a stance. Now, I can call up everyone, I can encourage people, I can get on text, I can do all these other things in general, but if you're involved with, as Senator B. Annette Davis-Jackson, involved in spiritual warfare with yourself, it's not going to make any difference of what I tell you. You have to believe that this is the right thing to do before you move forward. But that's why you have Monday. Today is Monday, and voting is tomorrow, and you can even vote tomorrow, that you can take time And as suggested through mental health and taking that self-care, which is not selfish, but taking time to just sit back, relax, and meditate, pray, or what have you, you can now come to the realization and allow the good Lord to speak to you that here is your moment to shine. Do what you need to do to shine. Get in that line. Complete your ballot. Do what needs to be done as the first step. After you vote, be available to help these wonderful women who are in leadership positions to get things the right thing to do, because this is what God expects us to do if we're going to be part of his squad. Final thing I will say is that with Britta talking about bringing up the clergy, I have always been a proponent of old TV shows, so we have the mod squad. Well, now, if Britta comes in with the clergy, I hope they'll call themselves God Squad, because the fact that as a squad of folks that'll bring people together, we have to walk in step with the good Lord and have him have everyone involved in helping our communities puts us in the right direction. But of course, God gives you a choice, so it's up to you. So for your own safety, if I may use the word, I would say it's time to do something, because now is the hour that the good Lord has provided for you to shine. So let's all get up, shine, and do what we have been asked to do by the good Lord, because as Dr. Granny B always tells us, God doesn't make any mistakes. And with that in mind, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, what a commentary. What a commentary. What a commentary. What a commentary. Thank you so much.
Bravo.
So very much. Wow. Okay,
thank
the
you.
Phone, we have 5 minutes. Thank you, Professor Reams. We have 5 minutes left. I just want to get closing remarks. We're going to go to Denise Woods first. Denise Woods, please give us your closing remarks. We only got a couple of minutes, so go right ahead, Denise.
Yeah, the commentary was great. That was right on the money for everybody that's involved in this conversation this morning. And my closing remarks, again, will just be to just, you know, make really informed choices. That's what I tell folks, you know, do your research. Stay in tune, not just at elections. Watch what's happening when these elections go away and people are in office. Watch what they do. Don't just listen to the commercials. You know, there's a lot of commercials out there. And, you know, just be informed citizens, because, you know, this is a whole lot. This is everybody's lives that is involved here. It don't get no seriouser than this. So in my closing remarks, I'll just say thank you for having me on. It was nice meeting everyone, nice hearing everyone's opinions. And good luck to Britta on the line. And I'm sure she's going to pull through. And look, I look forward to coming back again and see what happens after June 7th in our next conversation.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's give a big hand real quick for Denise Woods. Big hand for Denise Woods. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I want to go to our closing remarks from our exclusive special guest, running for chief of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Britta Steinbrenner. Take the floor. Give us your closing remarks.
Pastor Jones, I am so honored and blessed to be on your show today, and I want to say thank you to our listeners. I truly appreciated your views, your questions, and your statements. It proves that we are very like-minded, especially with our community-first approach, and then, of course, keeping guns off of the streets. So community policing, remember this key word, because that is the key to improving our relationships with the communities, and it's the solution to solving many of the issues that are plaguing the Sheriff's Department. So together, we are going to affect change. We're going to change the culture within the LA County Sheriff's Department. But that needs to be done with your support. And how that's going to happen is if you can please go to the polls, mail in your ballot, vote today or tomorrow, because your voices have to be heard. They need to be heard. And I would just be extremely honored as a candidate, as a community member, as the potential next sheriff, to have your vote and your support. And to all of you, again,
Thank you, and happy birthday to all of our June viewers and listeners. Thank you, Pastor Eddie Jones.
You're welcome. Let's give her a big hand for Britta's time, Brennan. Big hand. Now, everybody on Facebook Live, I got to go now because it's going to cut off, so don't hang up. But let me do this right here. Okay. Oh, it did. It cut off. Oh, my gosh. I hope it saves it. But anyway, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I had a wonderful time with everybody. God bless you all. I love you all. Remember, the only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Whatever you do, don't let nothing or nobody steal your joy. And also remember, the best is yet to come. But the real question is, what's going on? Till next week, I love y'all. Stay safe, stay prayed up, and remember the word of the week is safety. And then the scripture of the week is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love y'all. Peace.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a
big party, man.
I can dig it.